Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Champions League, oh yeah. Puckle! And welcome to the 475th episode of the Puckle Podcast. My name is Trainer Thatch, and I am here today with our co-host, my parched co-host. We have Dr. Shamu.
For the third time.
For the third time in 3 weeks. But that's good. Right. I mean, that's fine. We're friends. This is how it works out. And then we've also got the one and only Fluffiest Whimsicott.
For the first time in 2021.
It's a lot of people's first times in 2021. This is the second episode of 2021.
I had to have something to say. I haven't been on in a few weeks, unlike Shamu.
That's true. That's true. That is true. So with that said, welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007. We talk everything here from the Pokemon video game to the Pokemon trading card game and everything in between, just like everything Pokemon. We talk Pokemon. And it's just a really good time overall. A better time than some places. So with that said,
I'm trying not to say anything.
Yep, that's where we should stay. Keep it. Yeah. So I've been doing a few crazy things this week. One, I started doing an ex-Nuzlocke on Twitch.
Ooh.
Which is going to be regularly scheduled for Tuesdays from now on. I started it on a Thursday because that was my old streaming time slot, but because PTU recording stuff and we want to be able to open it up to like Shamu and Seth to be able to stream on an extra day, we've moved like that day to Thursdays, which was my old day. So I'm going to be streaming that on Tuesdays, which is I'm excited. I don't think I've actually ever completed more than one playthrough of X and Y.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, because like I got super into competitive in Gen 6.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
And so I did like the one playthrough and then I was breeding the whole time.
Same.
Like I bought a copy of X. I played through Y originally and then I bought a copy of X and then I never played through it.
I think I own two copies of X and one copy of Y and I never finished any of them besides my first copy of X.
Yeah. I just never finished it. Because it's also like a very short generation too to stay competitively relevant.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, X and Y came out in 2013, and then Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire came out in 2014.
Yeah.
And so there was like a year for X and Y to exist.
And then you had to play on Auras.
And then you had to play on Auras, which was both good and bad.
Mm.
There are good and bad things about that, in my opinion. So yeah, I never played. I don't think I've ever done like a playthrough of X. It's been really fun. We already lost somebody.
Oh.
The Zigzagoon named Cloud9.
Oh, no.
Twitch chat gets the name.
He had to go do draft prep anyway, so it's probably for the better. He didn't have time to run through your Nuzlocke.
I mean, that's true. He had to go. He was busy. he was busy. But yeah, we already lost somebody. It was sad. I also didn't realize how much I miss like actual badges being in the game. Like I don't think the badges from Sword and Shield like really scratched that itch. You know?
Nah, it really felt like they felt like more like the Island Challenge.
Yeah, they were also
a lot more.
They were a little like, phoned in.
Seventh Gen. Yeah, they weren't like actual bad. It was like, here's this medallion you make, and here are the parts of that medallion. It did feel a little weird. Like I thought it was cool that they made a big like hole thing, which was kind of cool. But I do get it. It's kind of like
It would have been better if it had been like in 3D, like where you actually build something with the badges that are shaped a certain way for each of them, but. Just big flat circle was
that would have been a cool
exciting
puzzle at the very end for the challenge. Yeah, for the
just to like get in
Victory Road, you have to assemble the medallion to
yeah
in the door. That would have been a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
Puzzles, but...
Wait, what's even worse is they actually, like, had almost badge designs anyway in, like, the logos for each gym. Mm. And I feel really upset that we didn't use those. I don't know, because for me, and maybe this is just, like, this is probably, like, a nostalgic thing more than a real argument. But for me, like, the idea, because I've seen it in we've seen it in the anime so many times, of just, like, walking up and, like, flashing your badge case or, like, your badges, your pins, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that... to a lot of older Pokemon players, maybe not the younger audience, because it's been since 2013 since we've had proper badges, and it's crazy to think those games are almost 8 years old.
Yeah, but when you could like shine them and each of them made a different yes. sound, that was the thing. That was awesome.
It was cool. I didn't realize how much I missed having just like different little badges like that though. I'm really on the fence. I might buy like a set of like the physical ones they have at Pokemon Center. Mm. They're like $150, but they're done really, really well.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but everything on that website. Well, no, actually, there's some good deals occasionally.
Yeah, on Pokemon Center, the plushies are always like reasonably priced, I find.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
everything
yeah,
else, not so much.
Absolutely. No, they get you with the plushies.
Mm-mm.
They get you with the plushies. But I still love it. I'd rather have it than not have it. I'll be completely honest about it.
Fair.
We used to have it like a really long time ago before it came back. I forget when it came back. I think it was like 2013, 2014, somewhere in there.
I don't remember. I don't have it. So
I remember being excited when it came back. And then because it used to exist more internationally back in the early 2000s, like up to Diamond and Pearl.
I think it came back in the past 6-ish years because it wasn't there when we met.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm going to see if
I remember you guys getting it back, I think.
Let me see if I can find like the Pokemon Center website on what's it called?
The Wayback Machine?
Bulbapedia at some point. I'm going to find out where, cuz they used to have pokemoncenter.com, like it existed like in the early 2000s, cuz I remember going to that.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, we used to have it and then it went away.
Yeah, I think the problem with Pokemon a lot of the times is that they get really far ahead of them. So, like, they have really good ideas, but it's ahead of their time.
Mm, yeah, like with the minifigure game.
I think the trading figure game was ahead of its time. I think it's all because of one reason. They didn't wait for the audience that played Red and Blue to become old enough to have expendable income.
To have the money,
That is my answer. That is my answer.
Yes.
They did not wait until I was 23. If they would have waited until I was 23, they could have done all of those things and it would have been wildly successful. Because I would have collected all of the trading figures. I would have been that person. It would have been awful. I would have been like pushing to go to like IRL trading figure events. It's absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. But
well, in another timeline.
In another timeline, I mean, if they would have been smart, that's what they like. If they relaunched it, I think it would do really well.
Mm.
I'll be completely straightforward with that. They could also bring back Pop-Tarts.
I think now that we have like 900 something Pokemon, it's a bit overwhelming of a thought to think I might want to collect 900 of them. Back when there were like 400, it was a much easier thought.
Oh, yes. I will agree with you there. I will definitely agree with you there. But yeah, I don't know. I think the website was cool when it used to exist. And I appreciate it existing now. Most of the things on there are pretty nifty.
Yes.
Pretty nifty. But I don't know. Anything quick and cool going on with you guys?
Really, it's just PTU is going to be happy. The draft will start at least for the Shield League by the time you're hearing this.
Yeah,
It won't be over, but it'll be at least be started.
That's true. Piddle's happening. So, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, as for me, pretty much nothing Pokemon related. I play Pokemon Go from my couch, as I've been doing for the past year or so.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. I miss a Yuon card.
I've also been doing, what is it? I've been working on prep for Players Cup 3. That's this next weekend.
Mm.
I'll probably stream some of it, but I'm working on prep. I'm feeling okay about it. I might have to. I'm like, there's a chance that I just change teams between now and then.
Oh, wow.
There's a chance. It depends, because like I understand how the team operates, and I've been doing okay with it, but I feel like I could do better with something else.
Yeah.
It somewhat fits my playstyle.
I should start prepping for the UUTC, actually. But
That is soonish.
Yeah. I just so much that I have to do for like work and stuff.
I understand.
I need to get my motivation back.
I understand. All right. I think that is going to be it for this segment. We're going to kick it on over to the news, though. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower. This just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news, we've got a few things to talk about. Not as many this week, actually, but of the bigger news for those of you who are anime fans, I'm following the anime this time around, and it's kind of exciting. Gary is coming back to the Pokemon anime. It's been a long time since we've actually seen him. I think 2009, outside of a dream sequence, is the last time we've seen him.
That's a long time.
That is older than X and Y. That is 12 years now.
That's 2009. Wow.
Yeah, that's 12 years. That was the year that Platinum came out. That was before HeartGold SoulSilver. And P. McGee writes, there are possibly listeners who were not alive the last time he was on the anime. And that is probably true.
Ouch.
It also looks like Iris is also coming back. That's about it. But yeah, I mean, that's exciting.
I'm more excited for Wickstrom.
For Winstrom. I think this entire season is really interesting, and it's trying to play into nostalgia. And I think the nostalgia card is the right card for them to be playing.
Oh, yeah.
I think Pokemon is really, yeah, the nostalgia card is the card to play. You have this really rich cast of characters that you haven't done anything with ever. Do something cool. I really enjoyed the episode of the anime here in the US. I don't know if you have it in Italy yet, where he battles like Lieutenant Surge's successor and they like talk about the battle. It's really cool. Then there's another episode. It hasn't aired in the US yet, but it aired in Japan, where he gets to go back and hang out with Chuck.
See, this messes with my head, because time has obviously passed, but Ash hasn't aged.
I think it's one of those things where you just assume time is passing, but you don't worry about how old anybody is.
Yeah,
but
I don't
it's
know.
Like, it just messes with my head. I don't like it.
Well, he got a Vish, so that's all I care about.
Yeah, he's getting a Draco Vish.
Well, in Japan, he actually got one.
Yeah, in Japan, but I mean in like the US, because I don't know if people are following the Japanese like I am. Or we are, I should say.
He's going to have a really actually good squad, which is kind of scary.
He's got a decent squad. I mean, he always has this theme that's been happening since, I think, like, Gen 6, where he just gets, like, too many Pokemon of one type. No, actually, the Alola team was okay. I found it super interesting with what he's got. Because right now, he's got Pikachu. Mr. Mime, I don't know if it is or not, actually, but... You've got Dragonite, which is really cool. You got Gengar, which is really cool. Lucario now, which is really cool. Galarian Farfetch'd. And then now Dracovish. I mean, he's got a cool team this time around. To be fair, two of them are fighting types, so maybe something.
And then two of them are dragon type.
Two of them are dragons, yeah, so I don't know. But it's a cool squad. I like that they kind of just like gave Go the responsibility of catching all the generic stuff now.
Yeah.
And then they're just giving Ash all of the cool, like, they're just like, what would be cool for Ash to have? And so they gave him stuff like that. I really enjoy the anime thus far. Just letting everybody know. Everybody should know that Thatch enjoys the anime.
We acknowledge that.
The last batch of episodes wasn't too great. I'll admit that. But in March, we're going to get some real bangers. He's going to Alola. Let's move on, though. That was anime talk. But we've got some video game battling news.
Yep. Remember that Players Cup 3 that Thatch is prepping for? You can sign up for that just until this Thursday, which is in 3 days if you're listening to the episode just as it comes out. And then the event will take place over the following weekend from the 15th to the 17th of January.
So it closes on Thursday at like 7 p.m. Eastern, just as a heads up, because it's zero UTC. So just as a heads up. So like on Thursday, if you're just like, oh man, I'm going to do it Thursday night, and you get home at like 8 o'clock Eastern, you're not going to get the chance to do it. So just something to keep in mind. It's like, just do it now. Just do it now. I know you're in your car right now, but you should just do it. Make your phone a mobile hotspot.
Not while you're driving.
No. But pull over, turn your phone into a mobile hotspot, Pull out your Switch. Go prep.
I love that you assume they have their Switch in the car.
Don't most people?
I don't.
No. Oh,
man, that's a... Well, you don't go anywhere, but...
I'm like the 0.01% of Switch users that treat it mostly as a home console. Also, I don't really drive anywhere because I work from home, so...
I would agree that I do it more in docked mode than I do in mobile mode. I think mobile mode is more for, I want to go to bed, but I want to keep playing the game.
I think mobile mode is for people who have stronger hands than I do. It's heavy.
The difference is I live in a post-COVID world in my work situation, and sometimes you're just waiting for a meeting, so you just pull up the Switch.
I worked from home before, and I'm probably going to keep working from home after. So
I'm working in the office, but nobody else is. So.
Oh, well, that's a good reason to have your Switch with you.
You have a Switch. Yeah, because you're bored. So you do something.
Yep.
Especially with the kind of work I do. There's a lot of downtime.
Yeah, there's a lot of waiting around for stuff to grow and stuff.
Yeah, you have to wait for things to warm up and stuff. Before COVID, I was playing it in the lab, and like my supervisor walked in while I was playing it. And I was just like, oh, I'm sorry. He's just like, I don't care. He's like, you're just sitting here doing nothing most of the time anyway.
Yeah. So-
Yeah, all right. Shamu, tell us some more about Pokemon Go news.
Yeah, there's actually a bit of stuff here. So the Sinnoh Celebration event is happening from January 12th through the 17th. Mostly Sinnoh Pokemon, though, but there'll be Lopunny, Hippowdon, Toxicroak, and Lumineon in 3-star raids, Gible among the options in 1-star raids.
That's nice.
We'll get...
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get Magnetic Lures to evolve Magneton and Nosepass. And
also
then that'll
nice.
Be immediately followed by a Hoenn celebration starting the 19th, and we have no idea when any other ones will happen.
That makes sense to me, that it's just going to keep happening like that.
Probably.
Because I think last week we didn't even have word on a Hoenn celebration. We just had a Sinnoh celebration, so it's just going to keep happening.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. There's also some Go League stuff. There's some new dates for stuff. We're not going to go through all of them, but there's a bunch of them. From the start of this half, Frillish will be available in Pokemon Go. Only the Go Battle League reward from rank 20 with a guaranteed encounter at rank 20. There's a bunch of move changes, like Weatherball got changed to an actual type for certain Pokemon, and etc., etc.
Cool.
We're not going to go through all of them, but just moves got changed.
Moves.
Want more information, just go to Serebii.
Yeah, we're not going to go through everything. We're just going to say, hey, something changed. This is kind of the generic idea of it.
Mm-mm.
And be aware. I did not know that this was thought out as well as it was, so I want to let everybody know that Puckle, this is Puckle News Time, is now streaming 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, like I said in the intro. So every Tuesday is going to be Thatch doing an X Nuzlocke. They're probably going to be start being some like random Saturday streams as well. Just keep your eye out for those. It mostly depends on how much laundry Thatch has to do on Saturday. So watch out for those. Those are going to be more of the battle streams, while Tuesday night's going to be the Nuzlocke or some kind of playthrough. I just want to do something that's a little bit more relaxing than battles the entire time.
Mm-mm.
Where I can really hang out with the chat and really talk with them. There's apparently a schedule for this month for the Thursday streams on the 14th, so this Thursday. Cloud9 will be doing a trivia night where everybody watching in the stream can participate. Be sure to be there. This is all around 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, by the way. On the 21st, P. McGee will be playing on Showdown and just doing some laddering or facing viewers, one of the two. And on the 28th, we're going to get somebody from the TCG cast to do some TCGO content. And we're going to try to get the... There's like a scheduling thing on Twitch I didn't realize. Twitch updated with a lot of things that I haven't been paying attention to.
Hmm.
And one of those is it comes out with... It has a little schedule integrated into it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, so we're going to try to do that so that everybody can see the schedule and you guys can come and join. We've had like a lot of participation in Twitch this past week, and I really appreciate everybody that's shown up to the streams just to hang out. I really appreciate it. I really like doing it. It's a really good way. There were a lot of people in the survey that asked for better ways to get to know the co-host, right? And I think this is a good way to do it. So if you want to get to know me more, or you want to get to know Claude and P. McGee at this juncture more, this is a really, really good way to do it. So I would definitely suggest you go to twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast and check it out. Also, UUTC is happening soon, so watch out for information. I think that's going to be like next week is UUTC. Finally, if you want to help out Puckle and you're a big fan of Puckle PTU, we need editors desperately.
Very desperately.
There is a huge backlog of episodes there. And if you're interested in, if you really like it and you want it to come out or you want to help us out, just push those out. We would really appreciate it. Just give us a contact. Just tag somebody on staff and chat being like, I want to edit PTU now. Let me do it. Let me add it. I'll do it. And then we'll definitely get you into that.
Oh, also one thing I forgot. Do we want to plug that Q&A thing?
Which Q&A thing?
Remember what we did last the stream?
Oh, yeah, we did do that.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really a Q&A, but we went through the survey results. It was a good time. We got a lot of answers out. I feel like we explained a lot of the major logistical issues that we face here with a lot of the responses that we got. And we also talked in a positive light about what we're doing moving forward. I believe that's on YouTube now, so be sure to check that out. All right, with that, this is a good place to kick it on over, though, to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. Thank you to Mark for reading off those trivia facts. As always, this segment is brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop for all your nerdy needs. You can check them out. They also provide you a 20% off discount over at their website, AnimeGravy.com, by using code PokeQuiz at checkout. We love those guys.
Yes.
On that note, we are going to begin. We have five questions, as Mark said, for you to answer. Currently, Shamu is in first place at 29 points. It's first to get to 30, obviously. Whoever gets to 30 first gets that $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com. I mean, it's obviously going to be Shamu, right? But Whimsicott does get all the carryover points from today. Liger, however, the man who curates all of our trivia, the Australian, the man down under, decided that since Shamu only needed 1 point, he was going to use all the hard trivia from this week.
Oh, thank you, Liger.
All right. So from Puckle's Poke Quiz, let us get started. Your first question is going to be from Trainer Sleeve. Who is the only gym leader, and I'm going to, this is a Thatch edit, in Pokemon Sword and Shield, to have a Pokemon with trained EVs? Only one of them actually has EVs into their Pokemon stats.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I can't think of why anyone would, other than I can think Nessa have it just because, like, I know Dreadnought is oddly fast, but, and I think with Rain, it's got, like, Swift Swim or something.
It would be weird for her to have it. So, my theories are either it's the last gym leader because he's like, Raihan is like your taste of competitive.
Oh, so that would make sense.
They would give him EVs.
VGC would have jank EVs too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think jank exactly, but
my other theory is that it's a gym leader who appears as something that's not like, it's a gym leader from a previous generation who appears as a different, but I can't think of any actually.
I'm okay with going with Raihan. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It was very fast. I'll admit. But,
real easy way to get, like, other, like, yeah.
Yeah. It would be very random if it was Nessa for some reason.
So, are we locking in Raihan?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
All right. Raihan is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is Piers, because he's the only one that doesn't Dynamax. So, he makes up for it by actually, his Obstagoon has max EVs in both defense and special defense. To account for the fact that he doesn't Dynamax.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to put the qualifier in there for Sword and Shield as well. I think the question wasn't super clear because you actually do have EVs on the gym leader's Pokemon in hard mode in Black 2 and White 2.
Yeah.
They'll get like 31 EVs, like max stats. It's crazy. It is very hard to Nuzlocke from experience.
Yes.
That's one question. You're 0 for 1. Your next question is going to come from Spike4972. What mainline games first introduced the three stars popping out of the ball on a successful catch with any Pokeball? What is this trivia, Liger?
Wow. So
that, I think, was X and Y.
No, it was before that.
Was it before that?
I think it was before that.
It wouldn't have been so.
I'll accept the generation. I'll accept the generation.
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't one or two. Unless it was like Fire Red.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't even exclude them because generation we hard gold, silver too.
I think it was either generation 4 or
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Okay, so we know it wasn't 1 or 2. We know it wasn't.
Well, it doesn't really work because Fire Red and Leaf Green.
Oh, sorry.
And Fire Red and Leaf Green would technically be gen. Were we counting like the game region? No, wait.
No, no, no. God, we're counting the generation.
Just the generation. Just give me the generation. Just give me the generation.
Are you saying that Fire Red and Leaf Green had them, or that it didn't?
I don't know.
Have them?
We don't know. We don't know if they were in like Ruby and Sapphire, but were in Fire Red and Leaf Green.
Oh, okay. Okay. I understand.
That's what
that is a possible. That is a possible situation. Yes. That's why okay. I asked for just generation.
Because I remember seeing them in sprite form. So we know it was like between like 3 and 5, you know? Mm-hmm. It's 3, 4, or 5 essentially. And I want to say it was 3, but it might be 4.
I think I'm okay with either. I'm thinking 4 more, to be honest, because I just don't know though for 3. It's a toss up.
I'm trying to, so Fire Red is one of the games I've played through the most, and it might be Fire Red and Leaf Green actually. It sounds correct. I want to say it was Gen 3.
Gen 3 is correct. It was Fire Red and Leaf Green that were the first games to introduce it, not Ruby and Sapphire. It also removed an Emerald because it just ran out of Ruby and Sapphire's engine.
Mm-hmm.
So it was removed in Emerald, but it then became a mainstay. Prior to that, in Generation 2, the Master Ball did it, but no other Pokeball did it.
Oh, I don't think I ever used a Master Ball in Gen 2, so I never knew.
It's fine. It's not like you could tell the difference anyway. It wasn't until Gen 3 that Pokeball capture, like what you caught it in, like meant anything. I think that was one of the cooler things they've ever added. I love, especially now, I love like just customizing Pokeballs with Pokemon. I know Shamu does. So,
yeah.
So Shamu crossed the finish line. You're one
job.
For two.
Woo.
All right. This next question is your Pokedex entry question. As always, I'll read you one Pokedex entry. You try to tell me who it is. If you read the Struggle Bus, I'll give you a second one. If you get on the first one, you get 2 points. If you get on the second one, you get 1 point. If you don't get it at all, you get 0 points. So this one's going to come from Trevster, the late night legend. It's Leaf Green Pokedex entry states, when the stars flicker in the night, it flutters about, scattering a glowing powder. Who's that Pokemon?
That sounds like Butterfree.
Butterfree? Is it a nocturnal Pokemon?
I was thinking of Goodbye
Pokemon?
Butterfree.
Is Butterfree a nocturnal Pokemon?
Well, I was thinking of Bye Bye Butterfree. And they had the same. I think that had, wasn't that part of it at night?
It was.
It's like that, or it could be Venomoth, but like.
I mean,
it's definitely a thing with powder. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's definitely a bug type. I don't know.
It's Omega Ruby entry states. It said that it in lands with clean air where the stars fill the sky, there lives this Pokemon in countless numbers. There is a good reason for this. The Pokemon uses the light of the stars as its energy.
Oh,
I don't know.
I'm I'm perplexed.
I guess Dustox too could be an option, but again, I don't.
I keep forgetting that everybody forgets about this Pokemon. It's not in Swish.
It's not in Swish, so it's not Butterfree. It's not.
It's not Dustox. Well, Dustox is in there. Dustox isn't in there either. That's sad.
What bug type Pokemon? I'm thinking it's a Gen 3 Pokemon. They had a lot of like lore for bug types, but like Illumise and Volbeat had a whole thing about one leading the other in dances, and
yeah,
I don't see them doing the powder.
It's Pokemon
thing.
Crystal entry states. In the daytime, when it gets warm, it curls up inside a big leaf and drifts off into a deep slumber. Wow, these are really bad for telling you what Pokemon they are. They're all about the same.
That's not helping, because I'm like, I don't know what's based on the stars. I don't, like, that doesn't, like...
It's got dots on its...
Oh, that's
it's
not
got
Jirachi,
dots on its back.
Oh, my God. Ledyba. Or Ledian.
Oh.
One or the two. It has a thing with stars. So I think it might be Ledyba, because Ledian might be more about, I don't know, but I understand why we didn't get it, because ladybugs don't scatter dust.
Also, Ledyba is a daytime Pokemon. It's like always been daytime.
Right?
Like, those are not
the
good
star,
for
the
that
stars
Pokemon.
Are like in all of its entries. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I guess
it's Ledyba. I don't know.
The answer is actually
Ledian,
but I'm going to give it to you because it could. Like, there's no way you're going to pick one or the other out of that.
Yeah.
So that we'll give you 1 point for that. That's 2 for 3.
That was.
Yep. Let's see. Do you want a manga question or a priority question?
Ooh.
Oof. Depends on which part of the manga it's based on.
In manga.
Okay. I want to know.
It's the OG manga. I think it's the first 4 volumes, yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine. We can try.
All right. This one's from British Gent. There's only two answers, so I'll give you three if you get both answers. And so it's one of 3 points. From the British gent, in the Pokemon manga, Red and Blue were to face off in the semifinals of the Pokemon League. Who are the other two people in the semifinals of the Pokemon League in the manga?
Cue silence.
I think you should be able to get one of these very easily. But
so one of them might have been green.
I could see it. I just don't know if she was actually in the league or not. I don't remember any of the ones in the league.
Oh, me neither. Absolutely. Complete and total blank. It wasn't the interesting part.
It's a little bit. Her opponent's a little bit interesting. Yeah. You do have the hint, too. Don't forget you.
Oh, yeah, why not?
Oh, that's right. We should use the hint.
This is the person that she got her Pokemon from. Green's correct, but yeah.
Okay, Green's correct, and this is the person that she got her Pokemon from.
I don't remember that part, honestly, so I'm like, it's not... Didn't she steal a Pokemon? Wasn't that what it was? She stole the Squirtle?
She stole the Squirtle from Professor Oak, and there's actually unused data in Generation 1 where you fight Professor Oak at the very end of the game. So the manga might have made a reference to that by having Professor Oak be the fourth person in the semifinals of the league. I like that. And I think I remember something along those lines. So it might be Professor Oak.
Are you going to go with Green and Professor Oak then?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I can't think of anyone else.
All right, Green and Professor Oak is correct.
Woo!
Oak ended up beating Green, so the final match ended up being Red versus Professor Oak. So you got that moment, you know, where Red fights Professor Oak. It was a whole thing because, I mean, you have all of the other stuff in the games, like Agatha talks about how he used to be a great Pokemon trainer, Professor Oak, that is.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
That's what I remembered. Yeah.
The manga's fantastic. I cannot praise it enough. Anytime we bring it up, I can't praise it enough, but I 1000% suggest you go read it if you haven't. But that gives you guys 3 points. That puts you at, four. Yeah, we'll say four. 4 points for today. All right, so your last question, as always, is your base stat question. And this one is going to come to you from Skullmane Banky. What pure fighting type Pokemon has the highest special attack? Pure fighting type.
Ooh, that's a really nice question.
Had a lot of HP, had Abysmal special attack and speed, if I remember right. Had like 55 special attack. Mien Shao's middling. So I think it's like 95, I think.
So wait. Yeah. They're asking for special attack, not special defense, right? Okay. I got confused for a moment. Pure fighting type. Because, I mean, we know the answer for not pure fighting type. There are not a ton of pure fighting types that have, like...
Yeah.
That have
and
a special attack.
And I just remember Mianchao being like, I think they're trying to aim it to be like partial special if you want it, because it gets like Aura Sphere. It gets special moves, but it's got like a. It's obviously a physical attacker with its actual stats, but like it has like a mediocre special attack. Like, which is like an aspect of pure fighting that's actually kind of, I think, high, I think, unless I'm saying something completely off base.
Okay, so let's give ourselves like a few seconds to think about it. Like, are there any pure fighting type legendaries? Question. The non-crowned forms of Zacian and Zamazenta already have
Zamazenta will be up there.
Right?
But what's Zamazenta's special attack? I don't know what it is.
I don't know, but it's a legendary. Although they are like Gen 8, so they are fairly optimized in their stats.
It's not like a pitiful one, but I think it still has like a 70, I think, in special. But I think I'm pretty sure Mianchao has higher, because I just remember seeing it like had a stat.
You know what? I'm okay to go with Mianchao.
I'm just running through the gens too, and just to see if there's anything I'm missing. I'm like, nothing else is at a point where it's like there.
Is Mianchao your final answer?
I think it is. Yeah, I can't think of anything else that's at that point.
Yeah, because like, let's say I don't know, Hitmonchan had decent special in Gen 1, but then it all went into his special defense when the stats split. So,
all right. I will accept Mien Shao as your answer unless you're going to do anything right now.
Different. No.
Mien Shao is correct with a base special attack of 95. The next highest is Zamazenta, uncrowned, with a base special attack of 80.
Oh, Okay. Yeah. That sounds correct.
So you guys got it. Shamu has crossed the finish line.
Ooh.
And we've reset the ladder. The ladder now consists of a first place Whimsicott with 5 points. It's anybody's game from here on out. But yeah, we finished it up. Shamu, you got that $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com. I also need to buy other people's stuff because I haven't done it in a
while.
Shame on you. I know. I'm horrible. I know. All right. On that note, we are going to kick it on over to the topic. You can catch more PokeQuiz next week on the Puckle Podcast. But to the topic. Hey, everyone. If you like Puckle PTU and you would like to see it come out on a more regular basis and you are interested in helping out the Puckle Podcast, you can do so by editing PTU cast for us. We have a huge backlog and we need a lot of editors to help catch up because we're already on campaign 2 and we'd like to finish campaign 1 for you guys. So if you're interested in that, feel free to contact any of the staff. Send us an email, pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Tag us on Discord. We'll get with you. We really would appreciate the help and we'd love to see this project get pulled out even farther. So feel free to contact us to get on board with the editing. We will catch you then on the flip-flop after we hit up the topic. And welcome to the topic. Our topic this week is, where would you like to live in the Pokemon world? I've picked a few locations, and I assume my co-hosts have locations that they've thought about maybe a little bit.
Yes.
We talked a few weeks ago about where or what Pokemon you might want to have in your house. Now we're just talking about where you want to put your house.
Yeah.
In the Pokemon world.
I'm so sad I missed that topic. It was so good.
I'm actually really excited because there's a few things that I specifically can think of that where I would want to go. So I'll kick it off. I think my number one is Sunny Shore City.
Mm.
And that is just because it's on the ocean.
Yeah.
It is also assumed that it's more like the Pacific Northwest than other cities in Pokemon.
Mm.
Minus the ones that are actually in the Pacific Northwest, like in Or. But I don't want to live in Or at all because it's just Mad Max.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker. I've lived in the Midwest my whole life, so I've got cornfields. But I really like being on, like, not on the water. I'm deathly afraid of drowning, but I like being able to see the water.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, so like if I could have a house in Sunny Shore City and I could like look out over the ocean, I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah.
It's also a city, so there are things to do, I imagine. I mean, you've got the walkway, as Bulbapedia says. You've got the Vista Lighthouse. You do have a Munchlax statue. That is true. Also, I feel good about my choice because the entire town's run on solar panels that you walk on.
Mm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It is environmentally friendly. It is a fantastic place to go. Everybody should live in Sunny Shore City. That's my case. It's also the hometown of such characters as Cyrus, the best, most moral man in the world. He just wanted to see change. That's all he wanted to see. That's all he wanted to see. It also kept up the tradition in Pokemon of one town in every region having a lighthouse.
Yes.
I don't think Unova has a lighthouse.
What region doesn't have a lighthouse?
There's one region that doesn't have it. There's one region that doesn't have it. I forget which one.
Unova doesn't really have a sea to speak of.
Mm.
So.
But yeah, that's my thought. Like, super environmentally friendly town. It's a city, technically.
Mm.
And I've got ocean views. I'm all about that life. And Volkner's going to hate his job eventually, so I'll just become gym leader. It's fine. It works out. It has a slogan.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, do they all have slogans in Sinnoh? I didn't know this. It just says solar powered.
Okay, that's
it's a bad, so it's a bad one, but it's still funny.
Yeah.
Where do you guys want to go live, set up your tent?
I don't know.
Shami, would you want to go first?
You don't have one?
Sure, I would live on Route 22.
Oh man.
Sure.
You want to live on Route 22?
I have several ideas.
Yeah.
One of those trainers who just waits for you and then you cross their eyes. You have to fight them.
You know what? That is the best characterization of Shamu.
Yes.
Is the trainer that waits there, but he like throws like a donut at you when he challenges you to a battle.
Yeah.
No, a McGriddle. It's a McGriddle.
It's a McGriddle. And then like you face him and like the guy before him had a Rattata and the guy after him has a PG and he has a team of Ultra Beasts. That is Shamu, Ultra Beast, and a Shuckle.
This is the best characterization that I think I've heard.
Just put me down like a non-essential side route that leads to nothing.
Yes.
for to actually get to this no non-useful area whatsoever, you have to destroy
yes.
a fucking
mm-hmm. yes, yes, yes.
Another edit, but
and then like your playthrough ends there. Like you destroy people's lives. Like everyone who Nuzlocke's the game talks about you.
The one route that leads
fear.
To nothing that they don't have to go down.
All the Route 22s are actually like really good routes.
Yeah.
It's the dead end.
I miss those, by the way. I don't think we've had a lot of those in a long time. Like I'd say Alola is just as guilty of that as Galar.
Alola had a couple. Mm. You had Ten Carat Hill to a degree. You had what's it called?
Yeah.
Seaward Cave or Seaward.
Alola did have a couple. Oh. They're all in Melee Melee. They like thought about Melee Melee and then were just like, what do you mean think about the rest of these routes?
Yeah.
I can remember a bunch of stuff in like Unova and a bunch of stuff, especially in like Platinum and especially even in Auraz. Auraz had a lot of off the route stuff.
Mm-mm-mm.
Maybe Kalos didn't. Maybe X and Y didn't have it so much. But I would argue that X and Y mm-hmm. also filled every inch of their route with something.
Yes.
They just like kind of crammed it.
Yes.
I'm also doing a playthrough of Y just to kind of stay ahead of my playthrough of Hex on stream so I can be semi-prepared.
Yeah. Wow.
Just so there's that, because like I haven't played it like that much, so it's not like something like where if I Nuzlocke Leaf Green Fire Red, I go, okay, I know this trainer's going to have this, I know this trainer's going to have this.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
It's nice to be like, yeah, that guy's got a Kadabra that can kind of just kill me.
Yeah.
I'm not careful. So it's nice to know.
Cool.
Shamu, you're a trainer on Route 22. You set up a little
camp?
Tent like we have for Pokemon now in Galar. What is that called? What are they? Oh my gosh. It's just called Pokemon Camp.
Pokemon
That's literally
camp.
What it's called
yeah.
now. It's not a me anymore. Pokemon a me. But okay, well, Winsicott, where would you want to go?
So speaking of Kalos, I think my top spot that I would pick to live in the Pokemon world would be Lavur City.
Lavur?
And here's why.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
So Lavur is the fairy one, right?
Yeah, it's the fairy one at the very top of the map.
Yeah, this makes sense.
So it's in a mountain, like it's at the feet of some mountains, but it's also on the coast overlooking the sea. Like you take a few steps out of the town and you can probably look down at the ocean, which is amazing.
That's fair.
Very green. It's got a quirky feel to it. Like it's all based around this ancient mysterious tree.
Yeah.
That like ends up being the fairy gym with the clock with the 13th hour on it, which is super weird. But at the same time, like it's very close to Lumiose City. So even if you're not living in a big city, you have one close and available to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also like essentially the town right next to the Pokemon factory.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's a weird flaky place that doesn't have an economy. You'll have an economy because of the Pokeball factory. So it's like the best of both worlds, but with more than two worlds. You know, it's got the best of everything. The routes around it are interesting looking, very peculiar. They're not like this, you know, the usual route.
Mm-hmm.
Like just grass and trainers and Shamu and nothing else.
And Shamu and nothing else. Is that what you just...
Yes, that's what I said. We've established that Shamu is a route trainer. And I don't know, I just love it. It's like, it's beautiful. It's got this full colored trees, which are one of my favorite things in the world. It's up north, so it probably gets snow in the winter. You're close to the sea, you're close to the mountains, you're close to a big city. It's got literally everything. And it's in Europe, which is a plus, because that's what I'm used to.
That is exactly what you're used to.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we get like another European region.
Please.
Well, I guess we did with Galar.
Well, it was European when they thought of it. Yeah.
We still haven't gotten Ireland.
Honestly,
it is what it is.
Like Italy would be amazing. The Iberic Peninsula would be amazing.
You know what? I didn't consider?
Volcanic area with Greece. Europe is all fantastic.
I feel like most places are fantastic in their own ways. I think everywhere has some kind of positive in the real world to go to.
Mm-mm.
Except for the Midwest.
Like Europe, you go to Europe and you have like every part of Europe has like its own distinct architecture, mostly. And it has a lot of flavor. And like, I'm trying not to look down on the fact that most of your stuff is less than 300 years old. They should make a Pokemon region out of China.
I don't think they'll do that for a lot of reasons, and I don't want to get into them on this podcast.
I agree with you, but could be like not China. It could be like Southeast Asia. That would be cool.
The places I don't want to go to are the Sevi Islands.
Mm.
I feel like even when you go to the Sevi Islands in the games, you're like, there's nothing here. It kind of sucks. And yeah. Even the NPCs are like that. And I find that a little hilarious. I was thinking like the spin-off games. Like, I haven't even thought about the spin-off games outside of Or, because I've never really looked at their maps. I want to go to Time Cube Island from Pokemon Quest. Rhyme City be pretty cool. Rhyme City.
I don't know. It's very big. It's very full of people. I'm not about that life. Like, I want it close so that if I need anything from like any kind of weird, crazy store, or if I want like to hang out with my friends at night and have a lot of choices of like clubs and eateries and stuff like that, I want it like close enough that I can drive to it, but I don't want to live there.
Oh, wow. Look at this. In every generation except for Generation 8, every English name for a region had the letter O in it.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow, what an insight, Bulbapedia.
Not in Italian, though, because Italian had a different name for Unova.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to know. I wonder if there's some like cool places to go to. Let me think. Another one that I really like is Cherry Grove, because it's a little bit quieter.
Yeah.
And you get the ocean again.
Yeah.
And I'm a sucker for that. I also really like mountains. Living in the Midwest has kind of ruined me a lot.
Yeah.
As long as it's just not all flat grass, I'm probably like pretty happy.
It's very hard for me to pick a place that doesn't have a bit of everything, because like where I live, I'm close enough to the sea, close enough to the mountains, close enough to the lakes, close enough to a big city. It's hard to give up that when you've had it your entire life. You know, it just feels correct.
I guess so. I don't know. I've lived a lot of different places, even though those places aren't very far apart, but I've lived in a good number of places to know that there's different feels for different locations. Like when I lived in downtown Columbus, like I had a lot of fun being able to live in the city. Granted, I don't think Columbus is your typical city. It's a big city that feels like a smaller city.
Yeah, it's big, but it's more like relaxed, chill, spread out, whatever.
Which is good. It's not like living in New York. I wouldn't want to live in New York.
Yeah.
You live in a town that's like right next to the big city in the Pokemon world, right? So you live in like Ecruteak, so you can go to Goldenrod.
Which is why I picked Lavur City.
I don't know that I want to live in the Lumiose.
No.
It might be fun when I'm like 22 to 28, and then afterwards you're done.
I'll stick with my Route 22.
Yeah.
What even Generation 2 has slogans? Oh, go ahead, Shamu. Your Route 22.
Eventually just be like an elder, like when like the old like sages with the candles.
Yeah, that's a veteran.
Oh, so actually what was really cool, and this was brought up to me by somebody in Puckle way long ago when Black and White first came out, is they noticed all of the veterans in if you look at the veteran design throughout Pokemon, let me see if I can pull it up on Bulbapedia. If you look at the veteran design, like the trainer class, and you look at the sprites they've had from Generation, when do they, I guess they popped in Generation 4, the veteran. And it's like this old, like, kimono sprite, right? But then when you get to Gen 5, it's just like people who are in their, like, early 20s.
Yeah.
It's that way in Black and White and X and Y. And I think it's really cool. And hear me out why. It's really cool because it's all of the people who grew up playing Pokemon, they're the veterans.
Yeah.
So Shamu would just be a veteran. I think it's really cool, because if you look at them, it's very interesting. We didn't have veterans in Gen 8, which is sad. We had them from 4 to 7. The 7 ones are weird, though, but I get it. Most veterans have goatees now. It's fine. I thought that was a cool little piece. It's just like, if you're going to be a trainer.
What kind of trainer are you?
Maybe that's a fun question. What kind of trainer would you want to be? Like, what trainer class are you?
I've actually thought about this a lot.
I don't even hear what you guys have to say. I'm curious, yeah.
So when you go, there's that card maker online where you can pick mm-hmm. like your team of six and your set of badges and your sprite. And so I've always thought, what kind of trainer would I be? I'm not a lass. I'm not a veteran because I'm not like a super expert. Like the trainers who have the kind of Pokemon that I usually have are like the Aroma ladies, but I feel like I'm not that feminine.
Mm.
So it's very strange. I've never like found a type of trainer that like is really me. And then I decided that, you know, when I was picking my icon for the online in Gen 8, I thought, yeah, but really what I am on the inside is a little girl in an EV suit. So I went with that one. I desperately wish they made like a Leafeon suit in my size.
Oh, no. I mean, you could probably find that.
I can probably find that on Etsy and spend like half a kidney on it and then never wear it because I'm ashamed.
Shamu, I assume you have an answer for this.
Probably just a Pokemaniac.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I see it. Yeah, okay. Shamu, actually, even like the pose reminds me of you. Oh my gosh. Like, I'm just thinking about the Pokemaniac and I'm just like, yeah, that's Shamu. Yeah. He's a Pokemaniac.
Just about.
How far do the Pokemon? Oh, wait, you're not. Actually, man, all of the sprites
are you.
They
probably got rid of it just because.
They're in, like, every game except for, I think, Gen 8. No, it's really. So, like, the sprite from Red and Blue is pretty normal. Mm-hmm. It's like that kid you go to school with who's, like, super into cosplay in mm-hmm. grade school. And he runs around in his, like, trench coat, like, playing Sherlock Holmes. Oh, my gosh. No, never mind. That's an even more apt comparison. For those of you unaware, Shamu and I played Dungeons and Dragons together, and I DM a campaign, and he plays a Sherlock Holmes-esque character. I didn't even think about that. And then,
right? Yeah,
I could totally see you wearing like the legs of the Charizard suit as well.
It's so perfect.
Even the hair. Oh my gosh! Like the hair matches up with yours. It's terrible. And then the one from Let's Go. Pikachu and Eevee has the trainer in the like a Slowpoke costume. Oh my gosh, that is so you.
You have the cop-out one, or you can actually have an answer.
What's a gym challenger? No. I'm a cool trainer. I don't know if I have an answer. Like, I don't want to cop out, obviously.
You're the Bryson man? No.
I'm a movie Thatch star. Man. I'm looking. There's so many trainer classes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Just in black spandex with like a torn cape.
Thatchman, I'm Bryson Man. I'm Bryson Man, or Thatchman, wearing my bright blue and gray spandex.
Over the spandex. That's what it is.
Ah, that could work. What's
actually,
a mystical
yes.
man? Oh, that's Eucene.
You're just a kahuna, you're right.
I actually am a kahuna. Yeah, that's right. Never mind, my Twitter profile, I'm still, I never changed that on Twitter.
Yeah, you never changed that.
I'm still Kahuna. I'm still Kahuna Thatch. And I'm okay with that. I would say Kahuna. I don't mind Kahuna. I can be an island Kahuna. I'm mostly just Hala. Hala's my spirit animal.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do when I get old. I just want to like be like, you could be a Pokemon trainer, children. All right. I guess this is a good place to stop. This is a good time. So I guess we're going to have like one or two mailbag questions for you guys. Where would you want to live and what kind of trainer would you want to be?
Yeah.
We're going to kick it on over, though, to the Pokemon of the episode, and we will catch you on the flip-flop. And we have another iTunes review this week from SuperCatGX. He says, godly 5 stars, best Pokemon podcast ever. Well, thank you for that, SuperCatGX. If you want your review read on the show, just go ahead, drop it on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast. We really appreciate it. But until then, we're going on to the topic. And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 243, Raikou, the Thunder Pokemon.
Its Ruby and Sapphire Pokedex entry states, Raikou embodies the speed of lightning. The roars of this Pokemon send shockwaves shuddering through the air and shake the ground as if lightning bolts had come crashing down.
So our Pokemon of the episode team chose Raikou. I don't know why we do Raikou before Entei and Suicune, which are the two good ones.
We're Raikou working our way up to that.
Maybe. Raikou kind of gets like the short end of the stick, and it's mostly because of the pure electric typing. Pure electric typing isn't great.
Cool. It gets some fun stuff. Like, it gets it got some new tools this generation, too.
Yeah, it got Scald. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like Scald.
Base 115 speed?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Base 100 special defense? That's okay. Base 115 special attack? Yeah, okay. 75 defense, you would expect that. 85 attack, you'd expect that. 90 HP, that's not bad either. Like, he's doing all right. Yeah, he sounds good on paper. I think the problem is there's just better things.
It comes down, I think, to move pool, outstanding ability. Like, you got pressure or you have inner focus. Both are fine. Like, inner focus is fine.
Inner focus got a good buff this gen, but the problem is a lot of other things also have inner focus that can use it better.
Well, it's even that it's inner focus. It's not like, okay, cool, can't get flinched. Can't get flinched, can't get intimidated, but like, okay.
Yeah, but who cares if Raikou gets intimidated?
Yeah, you're using it special anyway.
Well, so. The one we're running kind of cares about that.
I think it's just for odd speed control, I'll be honest. I don't know why else, but we can talk about that. Let's jump into it. So this is a BSS team, just so everybody knows. Battle Stadium Singles.
Yeah, so we'll start with the Raikou. It's Life Orb, Inner Focus. It's got 4 attack, max special attack, max speed with a hasty nature. You've got Rising Voltage, Scald, Aura Sphere, and Bulldoze. So you at least can do speed control, or you can just do max Quake.
I think that's mostly what it's for.
Because since this is a BSS team, and it's max Quake matters too. So
yes. Well, it's mostly so you can use it against something like a Nihilego.
Yeah, it's
because I think Raikou naturally outspeeds it, right?
I believe barely, yeah, because I think Nihilego is like 111 or 109.
It's 103. Oh, 103. We are both very off. 109 is its HP.
It was above 100. Close enough.
Yes.
But yeah, it's Raikou just countered Nihilego.
Yes.
That's like the whole thing with this too. So we have Nihilego counter. And it's just...
This team's very scared of it.
Yeah. You get Writhing Voltage. So you are probably just setting your own electric terrain and you're Writhing Voltaging afterwards is probably what you're meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, to pair with this, we just have a good mod, Lapras G-Max with a Light Clay, with Hydration, 140 HP, 44 Defense, 228 Special Attack, 4 Special Defense, 92 Speed, Modest, with Hydro Pump, Freeze Dry, Thunder, and Perish Song. So you just do your, set up your Aura Veil, you start, set up Rain, you can then Thunder afterwards if you want, or you just do your...
Yeah.
You do your G-Max or Max Lightning and then have Raikou come in and start using the electric terrain you set up. Or worst case, you just perished on something. Like,
yep.
Forces to switch in a couple turns.
I think Lapras is just a good mod in general. Lapras has been doing really solid.
Yeah, the G-Max, like, getting a Aurora Veil on an attacking move is super good.
Yes.
I think Lapras G-Max in general is probably the best example of a G-Max. And
it's one of the best, definitely.
Yeah, I would say the Kanto starters, Lapras, and Colossal.
Mm.
And 4 of those do the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4 of those do the same thing.
It's like, even then before, like, with a Betty Bad and, I think the Psychic ones. Just, like, just being able to set up a screen on an attacking move is dumb.
Mm-hmm.
We thought those were broken.
I think it's balanced because you're still a Lapras.
You're
at
a Lapras.
The end of the day.
You're using your G-Max to do it for battle spot singles. So like it's it is balanced in this more or less. Mm-hmm. Though it is still Aurora Veil instead of just a screen or a reflect. You know, like it's both as well as being able to extend it to 8 turns on one move. So essentially, you do one move and you extend it for the whole battle. Generally,
yep.
Which is kind of dumb.
Yeah, because it's gonna 8 turns is about as long as a BSS match is gonna last. Yeah. Whimsicott, though, let's talk about the fairies that are helping out.
Yes, and they're helping out in ways that are a bit peculiar for them. You have Mimikyu that obviously has the ability to disguise. It's holding a lagging tail, and I'll tell you later why. It's got max HP, max defense, 4 special defense, and a bold nature, so it's a fully bulky Mimikyu. And it's got the moves Curse, Trick, Will-O-Wisp, and Light Screen. So essentially, this thing annoys you and never, ever, ever dies. That's pretty much the point.
This Lagging Tail strat has become very popular recently, I've noticed.
I bet.
Lagging Tail
Trick. It's just become very popular. Yeah, Lagging Tail Trick, even in VGC, like, it's really big.
Mm-mm. Like, there's such a disparity between speed tiers now that even with speed control, you might still get outsped by something that's stupidly fast. and a lagging tail just fixes the problem for you. And there's no longer any items around that trick doesn't work on.
Yeah.
So it's very reliable.
It's just just a slot that just answers something. It's an option to like, oh, I don't like that thing. Let me bring Mimikyu. I can curse it. I can trick it. I can burn it. Or worst case, I just set up a light screen for something else to come in and beat it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's literally just there to make a threat and not a threat.
Yes, exactly. And the note says that with this max bulk, Mimikyu actually lives a G-Max Fireball. So that's not a thing to sneeze at.
Not at all.
So it's probably spec 2 to deal with Cinderace.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And this was the one that surprised me even more. Ladies and gentlemen, a bulky Tapu Lele. It's holding leftovers. It has max HP, 236 defense, 20 special defense, a bold nature again, and it has stored power, iron defense, draining kiss, and calm mind.
Iron defense, huh?
Yeah, I love it so much.
It's such a good meme. I love it.
Iron defense with bold nature and stored power.
How does this work?
Essentially, it works wonderfully because you set up the psychic terrain, so you actually have time to get a few boosts up because they can't priority move you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can heal yourself with Draining Kiss once you've got a calm mind up. Iron defense just means you don't die. You have leftovers. Essentially, you can bring out, you can bring down most things that aren't a steel type.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. Also, too, we've got Light Screen already on Mimikyu. We've got Aurora Veil on Lapras. So, essentially, it's more we set up a screen and we just go into this and then just have fun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As long as there's no steel types.
Yeah, and that's the big thing with this team. It's really weak to steel type, and that's why we have these next two mons to kind of help answer those.
Yeah, literally the other two mons exist solely to deal with steel types. So Moltres holding a key berry with flame body. This is regular Moltres, not Galarian, by the way. So I don't know what's happening. So 252 HP, 252 defense. 4 special defense, bold nature. We're a bulky, bulky Moltres with mystical fire, scorching sands, will-o-wisp, and roost. We are gonna get rid of those steel types right away. That is all we exist for.
I see they really like the bold nature.
I think so. I mean, it's a Moltres.
I see why the light screen there now too.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's spec'd in physical defense except for
everything's spec'd in the physical defense, and then they just screen for special.
Yeah.
Yeah, this thing's going to destroy your steel types on your opponent's side, though. It's fantastic. It's going to be bulky. It's going to stay there forever. This is stall. This is like a Seth team.
It kind of is. It kind of is. Kind of isn't.
To round everything off, we've got Garchomp with a Citrus Berry, Rough Skin, 252 HP, 252 or 212 special defense, and 44 speed. The 44 speed is there because at +1, you can get Garchomp to actually outspeed Nihilego. Wait, or not Nihilego.
Naganadel, actually.
Naganadel. My mistake. I don't know how it's getting to +1.
Oh, Scale Shot. The first move it has.
Oh, Scale Shot. Never mind. It has Scale Shot. And Earthquake, Fire Fang, and Swords Dance. Scale Shot, I completely forgot. I barely ever see it.
No, I don't blame you. It's a fun move, though.
And so It boosts the speed stat, but it lowers your defense stat when you use scale shot. So if you get scale shot off, you get a +1 speed. It's a damaging dragon dance, essentially. Well, not dragon dance, but it's good. It's like reverse icy wind.
Not really even that. It's a weird thing because you're doing a dragon bullet seed, but you're trading off stats as well as.
It's like a baby version of Shell Smash with some damage added to it.
Yes. Interesting. I like it. Good on you, Pokemon. Good on you. But yeah, then you can get +1. And you can outspeed into Ganadel.
<Mm-mm. laughs>
Because poison types and steel types are your enemy on this team, because you just want Tapu Lele to work. This has nothing to do with Raikou, the Pokemon of the episode. Tapu Lele is the star on this team.
Yeah.
Good old meme Lele.
Yeah. The only thing that they say can beat Lele is a Hippowdon. So watch out for that. Hippowdon's always a problem. I feel that's the one mon you build this team for, and it runs so well, and then Hippowdon.
Yeah.
You've got Yawn, you've got Bulk, you've got Slack Off. like,
yeah. Hippowdon's so hard to kill no matter what you're up against.
Yeah.
It's really dumb. Really dumb. Mm-mm. All right, but if you want to try this team, you can grab the rental code over on our Discord server. You can check it out. You can also watch P. McGee and Claude9 go ahead and battle with it this week over on the Puckle YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast. With that said, we are going to kick it on over now to the mailbag.
Poke of the episode.
And welcome to the mailbag, the part of the show where we read your emails on the show. You can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts about Pokemon in general or respond to the mailbag question. Your choice. Every week, this segment is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
And as always, we'll give out the Green Tauros badge, which gives you a nice shiny roll and access to the Green Tauros Club on the Discord server. So all you have to do is write an email that really sparks conversation and makes us love you. I guess is the answer. Lots of compliments. That's all it takes. No, don't do that. But we have a few emails this week. We got a few this week. We're going to read three of them. I am going to try to do this week the first of many extended mailbags. So please watch out for that later this week on YouTube. But our first email this week, last week we asked you guys, what is your favorite Pokemon game? And we want to see what you guys have to say. So this first email is going to be from Nathan.
All right. Hey, host and co-hosts. How are you? I just wanted to say how much I love your content. It really brightens up my week. That said, I'm a little disappointed that in the topic of every Pokemon game being good, none of y'all were able to find something nice to say about Black and White. As a self-proclaimed Gen 5 apologist, I feel like I should point out a few highlights.
I wasn't there. Sublime wasn't there. So.
That's very true. That's very true, though.
Yeah, and I'm anti-Gen 5.
I'm not anti-Gen 5. I'm very neutral on Gen 5.
I could be neutral, but my general disposition is towards anti. Like, they did good things, of course, and we'll go over a couple of them here.
Yeah.
It's just not a fun time for me. First, the first gen where TMs were reusable. As a Nuzlocker, I cannot tell you how nice it is to put an Earthquake on a Mon without having to worry about losing the most spammable move in Pokemon. Plus, it's a super convenient change, which is not wrong.
He's very right.
Having the reusable TMs were like, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I remember in Gen 4 having to like trade people for extra TMs.
Yeah.
That was a pain in the butt.
The game over and over again just for an extra one or something like that. It was just...
I think they handled it really well with TRs and Galar, bringing back that kind of mechanic.
Yeah, TRs are fine because they were easily acquired too.
Yes, because it was easily acquired, but you still had to go do something to get them.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like, oh, there's only one TM26 in the game. If you want another one, replay it.
Mm-hmm. Two, they introduced hidden abilities. I'm not much of a competitive Pokemon player, but my brother tells me that they're really good on certain dudes. They're good.
True.
There's a couple hit or miss ones, of course, but their most hidden abilities is nice. It gives other Pokemon another option to do something or just allow them to like, hey, this Pokemon that was useless, guess what? It's really good with this ability now.
Yeah, that's very
exactly.
true.
Exactly. That's pretty much the point. Like, it gives so many Pokemon another fighting chance.
It kind of how like the forms work too now. Like, oh, it wasn't good before in that form, but this form is really good.
That's true.
You know, like.
Like Sirfetch'd, it's really good.
Yeah. Three, it was the first game where HMs were not required to beat the main quest. Again, as a Nuzlocker, I absolutely love it. No more needing to rock smash all moves stuck to your starter for 5 gems.
Yeah.
Very true again.
Yep. Four, with Audino in nearly every patch of grass and vending machines in every major location in the game, made healing and grinding easier as well. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox now. Thanks again for all you guys do.
You're welcome.
1 minute of silence for all the poor Audinos that were sacrificed in the XP grind.
I don't know. I prefer it because the XP grind in Gen 5 was awful to begin with. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that one, but like it was nice to have an EXP grinding Mon, but like again, it was kind of like that shouldn't have had to be a thing.
I mean, they change experience in Gen 5 in general, which I think honestly for the longevity of the series for the better. But
yeah,
it doesn't feel good.
The level cap in Gen 5 I remember being absurdly high, and even with certain Mons like Volcarona being in the evolution at level 59 and like Hydreigon at 63 after one at like 55 or something like that, or 54. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
It was like everything was engineered to have much higher levels on the wild Pokemon. And then they didn't put them in. And then they did that in the post game. And it was a shock. And it just didn't work very well.
It was essentially Gen 2 all over again in that regard.
Kind of. Yeah.
It was artificial Gen 2 because the Pokemon were high level in the post game. The problem was nothing evolved until like level 50 because Gen 5.
It was weird.
What's worse is they forced you to use those Pokemon as well, in, at least in the original Black and White. Let's get over it. Let's move on. Our next one is from Siri.
Okay. Siri says, howdy y'all and happy new year. Happy new year. A short and sweet intro this time. I hope y'all are doing well and then the rest of your weeks are awesome. Thanks. Same to you. So, for my favorite Pokemon game, this is a difficult question, but one I love to discuss as Pokemon has been a part of my life since early childhood, like many other people. Whimsicott not included. My first Pokemon game was actually a Ruby version, which I got for Christmas from my sister. It's her fault that I have a couch loaded with plushies and figures lining my shelves. Sadly, my fiancé continues to tell me that I'm not allowed to totally theme our apartment with Pokemon merch. Now, I mean, there's discussions to be had there. I understand your point of view. I understand his point of view. I'm saying have a Pokemon room. That sounds like a good compromise.
So what I've started doing, because my wife was just like, oh, we need to have like generic artwork on the walls, right? And I was always like, but is that who we are?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's not who we are. Like, you just want to do it so we can play adult. And
yeah,
I'm like, we don't need to just like conform in that way. It's not that Thatch is like a nonconformist type person. It's just that Thatch wants his house to feel like Thatch's house.
Like, if you have friends who are going to come over and judge you because you have Pokemon art on your walls, those friends don't know you very well and you probably don't want them to come over.
Yeah, well, so the way we got around it was like mostly just for video game stuff in general is I've just started finding, we find like artwork that you can't tell is video game related if you don't know the video game.
That's my favorite kind.
We've got this poster that hung in our living room that is literally, it's like the backdrop of Hyrule, but without any of the Legend of Zelda logos on it or anything.
Oh, nice.
So you don't know what it is. It just looks like a cool castle, like, landscape.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, you just find, like, art pieces that, like, are that, but are, like, much more art pieces. Like, I've got a poster or a print, I guess, more or less, of a Starry Night with Jirachi on it, which is, like, one of my favorite things I have.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I think I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, I love
that's
that.
One thing that's nice about going to conventions, which I kind of want to do again soon once COVID's over.
Yeah.
But once COVID's over, I'd love to go back to conventions.
Yeah,
that's where you find. That's where I found, like, all of my actual art from, like, people commissioning characters and stuff. And, like, not commissioning, but, like, they had a bunch of prints of characters and stuff. And they're really nice. Like, I've got a couple little, like, shibby things I want to hang at some point. I don't know where.
Yeah.
But, like, the Starry Night Jirachi, that thing is my favorite thing I've gotten from a convention, like, art-wise.
I bet.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Well, Sari goes on to say, however, Ruby isn't my favorite game. Emerald exists, and Emerald trounces Ruby in every way possible.
Very true.
Addition of the Battle Frontier, intro animation, more pizzazzy menus, etc. I would say that Emerald is probably my favorite Pokemon game. However, there is an unexpected contender. I am honestly torn between declaring Emerald and Pokemon Black version as my favorite game. I feel you so much. While I have many fond memories of Generation 3 with friends and experiencing the new, Pokemon Black version continues to entertain me to this day with its wonderful music and aesthetics. The most interesting story in a Pokemon game to date, in my opinion, and the snappiest, most appealing battle system I have had the pleasure of playing with. It's a shame that the moving sprites only lasted for a single generation and a single game set, Black and White 2 included, at all. Something about the games have always been special. I do, however, prefer the overall regional themes of Hoenn and the Pokemon that inhabit the island over Unova, even if Unova included some of the coolest Pokemon, like Zebstrika, Garbodor, yes I'm serious, and Dradigon. Call me crazy, but hey man, These are some of my favorite Pokemon. But Hoenn has design powerhouses like Flygon, Mytina, Breloom, Salamence, Metagross, Sceptile. I can't begin to describe my adoration for these monster designs. Overall, I do think Generation 3 wins out, but my god, I would have been so happy to see Hoenn depicted in the Generation style of Gen 5. Real shame that the generation was forced to be so seemingly short-lived. Sorry to take up so much time. Hope y'all are doing awesome. Stay cool and save a cheetah! That was kind of random. All the love and dog kisses, Sayori.
Wonderful. All right. Well, our last email today is going to come to us from Gliscor Gamer. Hello, Thad, Shamu, and Whimsicott. Gliscor Gamer here. My first Pokemon game was HeartGold. However, I haven't finished the game to this day because I was stupid and didn't know how to play Pokemon as a small child, resulting in me failing many times. I'm trying to finish it, but dear Arceus, it's so slow. Trying to grind my Pokemon up to level 40 in Blackthorn City against level 20s is awful. Yes, it is.
Yes.
So really, the first Pokemon game I finished was X, which I love. I know it has its flaws, such as being too easy. I think X is a perfect game. It's not, actually, but yeah, it's very close. I still, the X and Y are probably my favorite Pokemon games.
They had really good pacing, I feel. Yeah. The story that you're being thrown through was not the best.
Mm. I like to think, and I think Oshawott has said it before, and I like his phrasing, is that X and Y feel a lot like an adventure, and they're very good at capturing that feeling.
Yeah.
Of feeling like an adventure. And I think that's what's been missing lately, especially with like Alola and stuff. Alola didn't feel like an adventure. It felt like I was hanging out with my friends and being dragged on a field trip. But once I finish Heart Gold, I want to do a Nuzlocke, since that will increase the difficulty. I especially love Pokemon from Kalos, and I think that even though there aren't very many, they are some of the best Game Freak has ever made, especially Dragalge, mostly because Poison Dragon is such a cool type combo. The region is just stunning, and the Megas are OP, which is what makes them so fun to play with. I don't know if they're OP, but okay. Another reason that I love Kalos so much is because of the anime. Oh my gosh. The anime is just so good. It is better than the anime that preceded it.
I mean,
best wishes.
What isn't?
Yes.
But
the bar wasn't very high.
Yeah.
Vonnie is one of, if not the best character in the Pokemon anime history. Fight me, I dare you. We can fight later. And Serena has such deep character development. Ash is also at his most powerful in XYZ. I don't disagree with that. All of these factors contribute to why Pokemon X is my favorite game in the series. I hope you enjoy this reading this email as much as I did writing it. This is Gliscor Gamer signing off. All right. Cool. That email. So I want to see if you all agree with me who gets the Green Tauros badge, but I'll let you guys tell me who you think should get it. I have an answer.
I'm just going to say Sayori.
I don't know, honestly.
Okay, I was going to say Sayori too, so Whimsicott's vote doesn't count. So So it's Sayori. Sayori, you get the Green Tauros badge. You're probably not going to have to ask because we see you enough on the server, so you'll just get
I'm
it.
I'm doing it right now.
Perfect. So. Boom.
Wonderful.
If you want more Puckly goodness throughout your week, a great place to check that out is the Puckle Plus feed over on wherever you're listening to this podcast right now. Puckle Plus is right there with it. You can catch the TCG cast, the Battle cast, Game Corner, so on and so forth. Trivia Rewind. It's a great place to get more Puckle on your week. They release episodes every Thursday, so be sure to check it out. If you want Puckle throughout the week, like you want to integrate, you want to become a member of the community, come over to the Discord server. You can also follow us on social media if that's your jam over at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr. You can, of course, keep up with the YouTube over at youtube.com/PucklePodcast. We're working on getting more video content out this year, so just keep an eye on it. There's already some. You can watch P. Mickey and Claude do Poke of the Episode battles. Twitch is ramping up, so be sure to follow us on Twitch over at twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast. Where you can check us out doing a variety of different Pokemon things. It's really fun. And if you want to, you can also support the show in a variety of different ways. One, you can go over to Twitch. You can drop a Twitch Prime subscription. You could also go over to our TeePublic store and buy a t-shirt. That helps support the show. Or you could just go over to patreon.com/PucklePodcast, where you can support us more directly. And we really appreciate that. But we should have giveaway announcements for the $5 and $10 tiers later this week. So be sure to watch out for that. All right. With that said, I think this is where we are going to end the show. So I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Shamu.
and I have been, as usual, the fluffiest minister.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.